Good day to you, and welcome back to another episode of Get to the Root with Audio. Did you guys know that I am a step-parent? And hopefully I have other step-parents who will be listening and will be able to relate and maybe even share some of their own stories to, you know, help me along my journey with it. So one thing that I've noticed more than anything when it comes to being a part of a blended family is that there is this stigma when it comes to the actual step parent. And I don't know if it's because of old Disney films, you know, with the evil stepmother or what have you, but it seems like we have this reputation already before we even enter in to this new marriage with these new children and a new family dynamic. We're already labeled, and it's almost like we're fighting against the tide before we even get started good. Now, I know that I talk to a lot of people, in my circle are members of nuclear families, which means that, you know, their mother and father are their biological parents, and they raise their children up, no divorces, anything like that. Their children are their biological children. And they've grown up and they've married one person, and the children in the home belong to just them. And it seems like especially in our churches, there's this another kind of stigma, I will say, when, you know, you have a church member who has been married more than once or is a member of a blended family. In a lot of churches, that's frowned upon, and people end up feeling judged and looked down upon. But here's something interesting. You know, I am Christian, and I do pay attention to all the things that occurred in my Bible, and step-parenting is not new. It is not a new type of thing that we have to get used to having as a part of our community or our nation. Step-parenting has been a thing. If you look in your Old Testament, you're going to see that there was a lot of step-parenting going on. I know my husband and I were talking the other day about Solomon. As a matter of fact, we're both Sunday school teachers, and we were talking about how Solomon had a horrible issue with women. The man had hundreds of wives, and we're just gonna go ahead and put it out there that the man had a nation of children, and just the weight of what that had to be like for all of these women parenting their own kids. But because they're all connected to this one man, they are also in charge of being good people, good leaders, good guides, good nourishers to other people's children. I mean, and if, you know, you want some clarity or you really want to dig deep in that, just go to the book of 1 Kings and just get started. And Solomon wasn't the only one. He's just quite notorious for having had that issue. So step-parenting, blended families, it's not something new. Although, this does make me think about one of the Ten Commandments that tells us not to commit adultery, and another that tells us not to commit fornication. I know that I have a lot of friends who are not Christians, and they consider the Bible to be this book of rules, like a whole lot of thou shalt nots. My perspective on the Bible is that it is full of a lot of common sense. I'm not saying that when we choose to marry again or to enter into a blended marriage that we're committing, you know, any kind of fornication or adultery. But I am going to tell you that it, to me, it kind of connects to those two issues of fornication and adultery, because in a lot of cases, the result of those two sins are children. And when you bring children into situations like that, there is always one or both of the parents of these children who are bitter, who are upset, who have this total disdain against the other parent, that it becomes such a horrible, horrible thing for them to even come close to co-parenting the children. When I look at children born into situations like this, I feel so bad, because you either have children with parents that don't get along, or you have children with parents, well, with one parent who's trying really hard to get along with the other parent, and that other parent is just not having it. And that is so sad, because the child is struggling to find a way to love both parents, and their overall desire would be to have both parents in the same house doing the job of raising and guiding and nourishing them into adulthood. So when they sit back and they watch these parents, you know, bite at each other back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, the parent that is angry and bitter and saying all kinds of mean and nasty and ugly things about the other parent is not teaching that child to love them more. They're making the child bitter. And I've seen plenty of instances where, you know, mom and dad get divorced, one parent gets sole custody, and the child that's with the sole custody parent has the misfortune of listening to this parent badmouth the other on a regular basis. And this parent is believing that they are pulling this child over into, you know, their corner, that this child will be on their side. And for a long time, the child will be on this parent's side. They will have heard bad things about the other parent, and they'll begin to harbor mistrust, misgivings, all kinds of things against the other parent. They won't want to go visit. They won't want to talk on the phone to this parent, to the other parent. They're not going to want to engage with them at all, because in their mind, they have created this picture of this monster that is their custodial parent's enemy. And over time, the child grows up to start paying attention, to start asking questions, and start trying to see things for how they really are. And once they figure it out, that in a lot of these instances, the custodial parent has simply been petty, out of joint, and just bitter about a breakup for however long, once this child figures this out, that's trouble. This child, who will now be a teenager, or maybe it won't happen until they're an adult, will look at the custodial parent and turn away and actually go in search of what the truth actually was. They'll go in search of the other parent's half of the story. Because here's the truth. It takes two to tango. If it took two of you to create this child or these children, it should take two of you to raise the child. Now, if something happens and you two split up and there ends up being, you know, a stepmom and or a stepdad, it should take three or four of you to get it done. What's supposed to happen is that the child's net of support and nourishment, guidance, leadership, fostering, mentoring, that net is actually supposed to get wider and stronger when step parents come into the picture. But as long as you have a member of the equation who is dead set on not allowing that step parent to be a crucial part of that child's life because you're upset with your ex, that keeps things from growing. That keeps good resources from being used. And that creates a large amount of confusion in the child who is not so much being loved to bits by the bitter parent. They're actually being used as a tennis ball and or a bargaining chip. You know, I've seen situations where, you know, one of the actual biological parent will get upset with their ex and say, well, if that's how you feel about X, Y, and Z, then you don't get to see your kids. That is horrible because that is using the love of your children against someone who doesn't even live with you anymore. As a matter of fact, to all spouses, ex-spouses, or ex-members of relationships, my advice to you through this podcast, or, you know, is to tell you that should you split from your ex and you have children, especially you men, believe it or not, I am actually more on the side of men than you would think in this situation. Men, when you and your ex split up, don't just take her word for it that she's going to let you see your kids whenever you want to, or, you know, what have you. Because if it works out that way and there's no drama, fine. But if it doesn't work out that way and there's constant drama, you are going to have a big headache. Don't trust the possibility that there won't be any drama. Go to the courthouse, establish your parental rights, and have your visitations documented, take them and make sure that they are notarized and filed with the court. That way, if your ex gets in her feelings and decides that the weekend you're supposed to have them, or the week or whatever, if she's in her feelings and she says something to you like you're not going to get to see your kids, she won't be able to do that. She won't be able to get away with it, and you'll be able to see your kids no matter how she feels. Now, as a divorcee, I only had one child with my ex-husband, and I don't know if it's just because it's my disposition or because I just don't like drama. I gave him an open door policy to our child. We did move away, and he did not dispute it or anything like that. If he wants to see her, he has to travel quite a bit. I sympathize with that, but it was not my decision for that to be a thing. However, when he does call or contact me and let me know that he's coming to see her or whatever, I don't say a word to say no. Absolutely not. This is his child. However I feel about him, it has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that he is her father, and she has a right to have a relationship with her dad without my interference. And he has a right to have a relationship with his daughter without my interference. That means that whatever he does or does not do will have no bearing on me. I will not be at fault. If he doesn't call, not on me. If he doesn't visit, not on me. I've done absolutely nothing to keep him away from her. Now, when I made sure to have it documented. Like I said, documented. This open door policy was a part of our divorce decree. All I wanted was rid of him. I did not want to interfere with his relationship with his daughter. When we look at the dynamics of our relationships with other people, when things turn sour, we have this horrible habit of trying to make everything connected to the other person our enemy. I've seen relationships dissolve, and, you know, especially with marriages, you know, they get divorced, and suddenly, say that the ex-husband no longer has any affiliation with any other family member that he knew of hers while they were married. And it can be vice versa. I've actually seen that. I've actually seen also where, one spouse may have an excellent relationship with their in-laws, and as soon as the marriage is dissolved, all of these multiple relationships are just severed. Bridges are burned, and the support system for the children involved is just gone. That's horrible. That's horrible. As much as an advocate as I am for good, strong marriages, I understand it when two adults can't seem to keep it together. I get it. I understand that that is a thing. But the children shouldn't be paying for that. They should not be paying for that. And no matter how much you sit them down and tell them, you know, that this wasn't your fault. Your daddy's not gone because of something you did wrong. It doesn't matter how much you say that. The child is still going to believe that there was something about them that made the parent that they love go away. When we split up with our exes, we're thinking about how much we no longer like them. We're looking at, you know, how much we hate them and what they did to us and how they broke covenants and promises and things like that. Meanwhile, our children are standing on the sidelines watching this whole thing, and they are children. Even if they have the intelligence to see and process what's going on, they don't have the maturity to understand the intricacies of adult relationships. And we shouldn't ask them to. And we most definitely shouldn't be talking to them about the intimate details of what went on between the two of us that caused us to split. Not until they really start asking questions. And then when you do answer, be careful. Keep it in their lane. You know, if there was infidelity, keep it to yourself. Unless, you know, if you're going to tell on your ex, tell on yourself. Do yourself and your child that favor. If you're going to tell the story, tell the whole story. Because, like I said, it takes two to tango. It takes two to make it, and it takes two to break it. So guaranteed, in, I'm going to say, a good 85-90% of the dissolved marriages, it took both of you. Don't lie and say that it was just, you know, him. You know, I'm speaking from a woman's perspective. It wasn't just him. We have a bad habit, ladies, of wanting our men to put up with us in whatever mess we bring to the table. But the slightest mistake out of him, and we just want to throw him in the trash. That's not how that works. That's not how that works at all. For better or for worse is just that, for better or worse. You know, I see posts all the time on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest. You know, if you can't handle me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best. Well, madam, the same thing goes for him. We have to do better, ladies. We really do. Now, if there's alienation of affection, if there is infidelity, you know, things like that, I see how, you know, marriages go off the rails and, you know, you can't get trust back and things like that. But when the relationships are dissolved, this is one of those cases where your children need to come first. They are the victims of this situation, and that should be kept at the forefront at all times. If you're going to get a divorce, what's going to be the best way for you and this other adult to part ways that's not going to spill over and destroy your child's life? Because see, the divorce is already going to hurt them. It's already going to, you know, make them insecure. It's already going to rob them of their trust in you. And it's going to be a hard situation for them to handle. Already, it's bad enough without adding bitterness from you, without teaching your kids how to hate their other parent. It's already bad. Don't make it worse because you can't get over things. When your ex marries again, if you're not going to congratulate them, if you're not going to allow your children to be a part of the wedding ceremony or whatever, do us a favor, bow out and shut up. Don't stick a wrench in something that you actually don't have anything to do with. Yes, your children are going to be there. Yes, your children are going to be in the house with this new person, you know, blah, blah, blah. Hopefully, if your ex was smart, then this ex allowed the children to get used to this new person and helped them establish a relationship with this new person before marrying that person. So try to trust that your ex is not going to allow someone into your children's lives that's going to hurt them or that's going to incite a whole lot of drama. I figure if you trusted your ex enough to expose your heart, your mind, and your body to them in order to procreate a child, enough to have married or lived with that other person, if you trusted them enough for that, then there should be enough common sense in there for you to believe that they will not put your children in harm's way. Now, I know that there are exceptions. There are exceptions. There are people that have no business procreating at all. Yet some of us managed to do it, and now we're paying heavy prices for that. But make good judgment calls. If your ex is dangerous, if your ex is abusive, if your ex is a narcissist, if your ex is a cheat, if your ex is a criminal, okay, make your judgment calls accordingly. But don't keep your children away from your ex just because you're bitter with your ex. Your personal feelings should be checked at the door with your coat, so that you leave yourself free to help someone else love, protect, and guide your children. And I know that there are many of us who say, well, this is my child. I don't want anybody else's input. I don't need anybody else helping me raise my child. Well, you are wrong. Very, very, very wrong. If that's what you believe, you're very wrong. That whole, it takes a village, that's so true. It takes a village. And, you know, if you trust your children with your cousins, your aunties, uncles, grandparents, parents, you know, whatever. Okay, well, they're people too. And you have people coming into your children's lives through your ex-spouse or ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend, whatever, who are trying. They're out here loving your kids unconditionally while you're sitting up hating your ex more than you love your kids. Your kids can see that. If outsiders can see it, we know the kids see it. I know that whenever my daughter would go and stay a month with her dad. He had another woman in his life, and I didn't have a problem with that. As a matter of fact, I would call her ahead of time. I would call this other woman ahead of time before my daughter got there, and I would actually give her the ins and outs of my daughter's attitude, her likes, her dislikes, whatever kind of problems she might have out of my daughter just by virtue of my daughter being a teenage female. I would try to help her manage my daughter without me, because I understood that, first of all, you can't run another person's castle from your hut. You can't do that. It's disrespectful, and it robs the other parent of dignity and authority. Let them have it in their home. You have your authority and your dignity in your house. Let the other parent have the same. I didn't want to fight. I didn't want to put my daughter in the middle of something that had nothing to do with her. I didn't want to do that to her. And I also didn't want to dishonor this other woman. I don't know her, really. I met her. I've had conversations with her. But I don't know her enough to be telling her what to do in her own home. It's not cool, and it's disrespectful. So if you are a step-parent in a blended family, or you know someone who is, I want to encourage you to plant your feet very, very firm, and don't let the bitterness that might be coming from the other parent deter you from loving these kids. As a matter of fact, thank you for what you do. Thank you so much, you know, and to, you know, the other lady that, you know, used to, you know, watch my child with my ex-husband, for the things that you did for her, for the good that you did do. Thank you. Thank you so much for loving my child while she wasn't with me. Now, my challenge, though, to those of you who may be struggling with a step parent, who may have another person in your child's life who is in a position of authority in another home, my challenge to you is to maybe invite that new step parent out to dinner or out to coffee, you know, whatever. Sit down, have a conversation, ask questions, learn about who they are. Learn how they work. Put your heads together and come up with a game plan that's going to benefit the kids. You don't have to be satisfied with what's going on in someone else's house. Be satisfied if that other person, this new step parent, loves your kids, feeds your kids, provides toiletries for your kids, buy school supplies, clothes for your kids, sits down and have conversations with your kids. Be glad that they are loved by someone who doesn't have to love them. That's my challenge. Remove your feelings and get about the business of working together with someone who actually doesn't have to, but is willing to. Thank you once again for joining me for another segment of Get to the Root with Audio. I hope this was a blessing for those of us who are struggling as a step-parent or with a step-parent. It is a struggle, but thank God that He is there to keep the waters from being troubled for too long. If this is something that, you know, is hitting you close to home and you need someone to guide you through it, you can always contact me through the contact page at roottobranches.net. That's R-O-O-T-T-O branches.net. And let me know how I can help you. And until then, I wish you all happiness and love in Christ and with one another.